appreciate the opportunity for pressing to build the Civic Center for a city county administration building on the tidelands. And the city readily agreed to turn that over to the city and county for that purpose. Mr. Marston had dispatched his attorney, the late judge, I can't think of his name, he was a very earnest member, Ralph Jenny, to Washington to arrange the details with the federal government to put it on PWA. And he did that very circumspect manner, and the city got its building, the city and the county, on that vast acreage of land. Later, when the offices of the city and county grew too big for the present building, the city withdrew and built uptown and the Charlie Dale Center, and the county paid them $6.5 million for their share of the of ownership of that plot of ground. The county also built their county health center on the plot, which is still there. And Mr. Marston was the guiding light to get that established. Then came
that was still joined.
Got the administration buildings along the waterfront at that time. There was a proposal that came along and found great help to locate all of the local public offices along a mall street leading from Cedar Street on the Pacific Avenue side of the Civic Center up to the Balboa Park, and to locate the county schools, the federal building and so on, and the state building and others, instead of having them scattered all over all creation. However, the after it meant the approval of the people, but a certain interest in the city, especially those big renters of space for public offices, fought it to a standstill, and it meant the bond issues went down twice, so the plan had to be abandoned. But it would have been a beautiful thing. The Board of Education also already owned sufficient land, namely the Washington School, and funding on that, so they wouldn't have had to purchase much land. But the other buildings, the city of San Diego, and these would have had to buy extensive property to put their buildings upon. It hasn't been until the coming of Van Dier and the congressman along that they got any action on the federal building on Broadway at E, and I suppose that the present plan is going to be about as it is. The John D. Speckles building.
Yeah.
It wasn't finished before his death, quite. It was finished in 1927. He died the year before.
Spilled a lot of things down. Uh-huh.
And he wasn't without his high regard for beauty and love for music. He brought such people as Terry Jacobs Bond and Madame Schumann Heick here as permanent residents. And who was that fellow that wrote The Indian Love Call? He died in 1926, Mr. Speckles did. So it's a long time ago for me to remember, but they both were well-balanced men in their love for beauty. And no one can say that Mr. Marston, with his great love for beauty, wasn't a man who regarded highly and built a very successful enterprise in the business field, in a highly competitive field. And he would stand up and make his opinions known for it, too. He wasn't for building the B Street Pier, which imposed, after they had built the Broadway Pier, they Well, 10 years later, they built the B Street Pier. He wasn't in favor of that at all, but it was an encroachment of the commercial into the area that John Nolan was the planner that he had engaged, that had set up the original plan. And now you notice the city did follow eventually the Nolan plan and built all of that development at the foot of A Street. Yeah. And, well, what were we... We were up to about Navy under the very able leadership of one, not the chairman, but the prominent member of the Armed Forces Committee. It used to be the Naval Affairs Committee of the House, which Congressman Kettner, who served the 8 years as our congressman that Woodrow Wilson was aboard as president, was a leader in that, and he induced the first step was training naval training station. Most of Balboa Park, the main drag of Balboa Park, had been utilized by the Navy as a training center during World War I, and Mr. Kettner, through his abilities to convince the secretary, who was Josephus Daniels from South Carolina, to move the Naval Training Center from Goat Island, Yerba Buena Island in San Francisco Bay, which was a stormy, wintry place, all a terrible place to train, in comparison, to locate in San Diego. And the city had, through the years, put a little money into, each year, for about 20 years, into an industrial site for further development. It was north of the Salt Works, west of Chula Vista, and leading up to the National City Line. The only factory or business enterprise of any consequence to locate in there was, during the wartime, the an artificial stone place in where Aurora is now, and the Hercules Powder Company, who gathered kelp and reduced it to some material they used in. And that's still out on the point. It later became a
Hercules
Powder Company. After the war, it became a cottonseed mill. But at any rate, they saw the need of helping the Navy in every way they could. And he induced the city of San Diego to sell that land that they had bought and paid for as an industrial sites, and turn the money in to purchase what is now Tidelands, and quite a good deal of good acreage to the left toward the bay from Rosecrans Street. And that was the commencement of the San Diego Naval Training Center. It has expanded by leaps and bounds, and it also served as a good leverage for future development by the Navy in San Diego. Because as their need for space came along, they were assigned the Tidelands. Now, all of this area from about Laurel Street out was green grass where the River San Diego had flowed into San Diego Bay prior to the building of the Derby Dyke in Old Town, diverting that river flow into the bay. Incidentally, when I was a child, that used to run all year long. And it had a lot of sloughs, a lot of little riverways and so on. So the Navy, the federal government did the dredging, and the Navy got the land. And the war had hardly finished when the Marine Corps located on its Marine base, and the mud was still there. There wasn't a building anywhere. As a matter of fact, to go to Point Loma from on Barnett Avenue, there were two big bridges one right near the Santa Fe tracks, and the other over toward Loma Portal, a little further, where an estuary from the bay came up, and the high tide water would come way up into their flatland, where Midway Drive is now. At any rate, all of that land was built up from mud from the San Diego Bay. At one time, they had created about 800 acres there, with a channel on the outside and the Marine Corps base on the inside. Spoil mud that was left on the outside edge was used on another dredging project to add 700 acres to the north side of North Island. North Island wasn't anywhere nearly as big as it is now.
Where did that come from, the 700 acres on North Island? Dredging more of the harbor?
Dredging that spoil out of the Dutch flats, the north side of the harbor. As recently as the super carriers came into being, there was need for a deeper and wider turning basin to make the turn to get into their dock space on North Island, and we had another big dredging project that added still further to North Island's acreage, and at the same time provided an access of 60 feet of water in there now at low tide. And the biggest ships in existence come and go with only standby help from tugs, too. They come in on their own. Well, Joe Brennan was the harbor master during all those years, and one of the boys he trained before his retirement, John Bate, took over, and he was a very practical man and good man. Then the hue and cry came along that the Navy had to deal with so many different cities and municipalities, Coronado and San Diego principally, that as they established the bases down below Coronado, the landing school, they must create one authority. Mm-hmm. And that, of course, captured the imagination. It was the worst mistake we ever made, because...
Oh, really?
I think so. Because it... why should, with all of our investment of years and millions of dollars, should San Diego turn over to some squirt in representing Chula Vista? See what I mean? The Port Authority includes Imperial Beach, Chula Vista, National City, Coronado, and San Diego.
So they're all in it.
And they all have a say with the operation of the Port District.
As big a say as San Diego does?
And San Diego has the biggest share of it, and a somewhat bigger vote by delegates in its operation, but it's under the Port Authority. Has tried almost every kind of scheme to develop trade for the bay, and we might just as well realize that our big industry is the Navy.
Mm-hmm.
And it isn't anything more than average world trade. It never will be, because of our location and because of the big jump that the Long Beach, San Pedro area has upon us. Mm-hmm. No doubt about it.
Mm-hmm. So you, as far as you're concerned, then we need the Navy.
Yes, indeed. It's our biggest industry, even ahead of tourism. That brings with it many problems with housing of the families, one thing another. And I tell my daughter, who married a sailor, is a very bright young guy, that is that on now? The class of 1940 of Columbia University at physics, he joined the Navy in 1940. He saw the war was coming, and he was one of Rickover's whiz kids, and stayed in the Navy until helped design and work on the Nautilus, and got his doctorate from one of the schools he attended, Lehigh University, and was in charge of what they call the petroleum school. It's just a misnomer, a service station for nuclear-driven, power-driven. And he left the Navy after they passed him over twice for a captain, and went down south and made a lot of money in plastics as a research director for a Milliken company. But anyway, they're hesitant to move out here because, although he's been retired now for 8 years, but they live back there easily in a little stick town. And and she comes to California twice a year for her dental work. Her brother is a dentist, and has redevelopment. Very skeptical about it. Yes, I think that an outside promoter has induced us to misuse. Nobody, the Nolan plan or anything else, contemplated the use of that side of the harbor front for condominiums facing the water and one thing another.
Is this in the plan?
Oh, yes. Yes, indeed. They've got the basics of the cove built down there.
Are you talking about that new shopping area?
No, that is the Rowing Club's old site that they took away from them.
Really?
Yeah. We had loaned it for $1 a year to the Navy until we could move onto it. And we're using that as kind of a pawn to move to Mission Bay anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But at any rate, the Port Authority turned around and leased it out. They're crazy for money. Mm-hmm. And those things, half of them don't go through down there.
Unless the tourists come, and it is a
yeah.
And they will.
Yeah. You know, we can't go on forever with $2.50 to $10 a pound seafood, and something's got to give somewhere along the line here. And
well, what were you talking about then? The Lamplight District or the other one where they're going to raise it completely?
What?
Are you talking about the Lamplight District that you?
Well, no, I'm not in favor of them. I'm in favor of the Lamplight District doing their own thing.
Yeah. But
rather than having a promoter come out. And I cannot understand their policy. They were right in the midst of that ownership of 5 or 6 blocks, which they sold to the city on a grant.
What is their editorial policy?
What's that?
The Union Tribune's editorial policy on that. It's a rail.
Oh, they're for it, but they moved the hell out of there right away. They got to Mission Valley quick, and they got rid of a lot of old-fashioned ideas, machinery and so on. Photographic thing now, not a hand set or machine set type deal. But at any rate, they're for it, but let George do it.
Mm.
And these commitments by the big hotels, they're not going to move there, and they seemingly have let it be known to the redevelopment committee that when you have a convention center, did you see that last figure on a convention center? The cost to be $117 million. Now, I know enough about show business from acquaintances, droppings of information, to know it takes a hell of a long time to get your investment back. If you have, well, I just can't understand it, and I think the whole thing's going to fly up. I think these people in that gaslight square block, E to F and 3rd to 4th, should be excluded from that redevelopment and let them do their thing with their type of financing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they get
it. Finished about the dredging and gone beyond 1945 with some of this development out here
of
Harbor Island and and the other island on the low, on the other side.
You raised two children of my own,
and a boy, a nephew, getting them through college at the time. They were just ready for college. And 41 came along, the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor, and I'd been very interested in the ongoing of the city and never thought of a political life at all. The councilman from our district, Lou Wegeman, was in very poor health, and he said, told some of the other council that he would gladly resign if they could get me to serve out his term, which I did. And there's a lot of discussion about playing politics and so on, but we had a splendid city council at that time, and there wasn't any politics to it. And so I became a city councilman. And by the way, the salary was $10 a meeting, not to exceed $600 a year. $600 a year, not 600 meetings. So I ran the following spring and was elected without any opposition. So about that 4 years, the last 2 years, as vice mayor. And I had run once before in 1940 for county supervisor, and that was where I wanted to serve. And so I ran and won from a field of five, and one of the primaries, strangely enough. No one else got, I got more than a majority of all of the others together. And according to the county charter, I was the only nominee. But so I served until June of 1949, the first 2 years. I served 4 years and was re-elected without opposition, and then I served till June. Mr. Truman had asked that I made the request that I be serve as collector of customs for San Diego and Imperial County. So I accepted, provided I could wait until June, until we got the budget out of the way. And it was agreeable with his office, and I served until 1952 as three years and a half as collector of customs. Then things were so bad, anyway, Eisenhower beat Carrie Wilson, who was my cousin at that time, into office. I ran for Congress, and Bob Wilson beat me. And then I ran 2 years later for county supervisor to serve 16 years more and as in county government.
Oh, you mean you've been in county government since 1949?
I have been there twice, once for 4.5 years and the other time for a full 16. That was my political experience, and it was a great growth period. It was the wind-up of the war and the implementing the plans of development, post-war development, development had sort of a standstill prior to that time, bringing our allotment of water from the Colorado River into San Diego, which were all very important things to me. And that was that. In the meantime, there was a great deal of catch-up work, delayed maintenance operations, and
what was the depression like in San Diego?
Well, it was terrible. My salary went from, at the rooming club, went from $300 a month down to $175 a month by steps. And that was everybody's lot who was able to keep employment, but there was so much unemployment, it was just terrible. At one time, my wife and I totaled it up, and I remember, and we couldn't afford it either. We had three kids schooling on our hands.
Mm-hmm.
We were owed in little amounts of $1 to $10, $25, well over $1,200.
Mm-hmm.
And but we almost all of it came back,
mm-hmm.
almost without exception. But fellows would work for 20 cents an hour. Fellows would work for a good meal. We were terribly hit by the Depression. And
now,
of course, because of my connection with the youth group, the Rowing Club, they were the worst off economically of anybody.
Mm-hmm. Well, most of them were in the service, though, weren't they?
Yes.
They went to the service, the youth people.
Oh, no, no, no. There's a growing crop. I had to, I wouldn't let my son join. And that was a point of bitterness between us for a long while. He had set his heart on being a dentist, and I wanted him to be, and we had worked his education fund of ours, for example, underwritten, so he wouldn't have the experience that I had had.
Mm-hmm.
And he finished high school in February of 43.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't 18 until June, and I made him go to state college instead of enlisting. Wouldn't give my consent,
mm-hmm.
and they weren't. They were getting enough recruits, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't any shortage of recruits. So at any rate, he went through boot camp, mm-hmm. and was a torpedoman third class before he got the call to come into the V-12 after a year or so of that. So there was a whole crop of kids that needed help and needed work, and adults too. It was pathetic almost to see them.
Mm-hmm.
My brother-in-law.
Anytime about the Depression.
Yeah, well, my brother-in-law, as the Depression began to sag, he had a trucking company, had four trucks altogether, three and the one he ran, of doing contract delivery work for big outfits like Bailey Material Company,
mm-hmm.
and Western Lumber and outfits like that. Well, you know, it got down to one truck, and then there wasn't enough to.
Mm-hmm.
So the war came along, and of course, the Navy building began to go, and then it zoomed up, and by the time it got to be fair again, in late 43, well, the SAG came in, they had their own equipment, their own enlisted men, their own people doing it.
Who came in?
The Navy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so there wasn't any business for him.
Mm-hmm.
So he had to join the Seabees and lost everything practically, and
mm-hmm.
lost the trucks. So it wasn't a good time. It was a terribly disconcerting time.
That was as I remembered it, too, but if you had $10 a week, you lived well.
What is that?
If you had $10 a week, you could live.
Oh, yes. Yes, indeed. That was good money. Yeah. My sister-in-law, my wife's brother and his wife, my sister-in-law and brother-in-law, he was an assistant cashier of the Bank of America, and they had bought so heavily in Transamerica stock. She had to go back to work at the bank in order to pay off. She got her job because she owed them so much money balance on that mm-hmm. Transamerica stock, but they held on.
Mm-hmm.
And she owed them more than the stock was worth on the market mm-hmm. at that time.
Mm-hmm. And now, during the war years, what did the city look like here?
Well, it looked like an armed camp. All of these hills had spotting companies. And they'd shoot tracer bullets out at night, and all of this area over the Conville plant was captive balloons and camouflage, and on the top side, as you looked at it, it looked like bay area, and it was all camouflaged, and they had little outposts of training groups all over the hillsides coming and going, and mostly the Signal Corps people. And, well, that's about it. There were a great many more military people, men in the service, than there were civilians in San Diego. As I remember one time, Percy Bimbo, who served up until his death in 43, was mayor.
Mm-hmm.
He had a special poll made over the census of 1940, and we figured we had 118,000 civilians and about 160,000 military folk. There are boats galore in the harbor coming and going, and for the maintenance of ships at sea.
Mm-hmm.
And then they build a great many of those. They're very much like they were later. Most of them sold as tuna tippers to work in the South Sea Islands for supplies into the remote places. There were, as many as 20 or 30 of them built here. Good-sized ships, 200 feet long.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the scales of wages went down. The government war orders just put them in their place.
Mm-hmm. It was
okay.
No, I think that we have covered about everything that I was interested in hearing from you, and I thank you so much for taking the time and the trouble to talk to us. We'll be happy to have you.
Well, I've left out some things.
Oh, sure, but that's fine. We have a great deal.